Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Welcome to Cosmic Channels. I'm your host, Brayden. This is your Cosmic Call-In Show. I just host it. We're here. We're kicking off season 9, and it's spooky season. Thank you all for tuning into the show. Listen, lots of people have been reaching out. They want to help the show. How can you help for free? Right? You know, you maybe don't have, you don't want to throw Cosmic Channels a couple bones. I get it. There's easy ways to help the show. Please follow us, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you find Cosmic Channels. Listen, give us a like, follow, like a couple of our posts, and listen, tell your friends. Even better, come hang out on a live stream. This show is recorded live Thursday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can come hang out in the chat. It's a really fun atmosphere, and you can share your stories and ask questions live of the callers that I'll read on air. But listen, we all know Cosmic Channels is about the callers, and we got a caller on the line, and they take priority. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, who's calling? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Corey Treverson calling back from the Sunnyvale Trailer Park.
What's going on? I thought I recognized the voice there. enjoying the start of summer sessions here, trying to figure out how we're going to tweak the show before kickoff season 9, probably sometime in September. Well, what do you got for us tonight?
I've got a haunted house story to kick off season 9.
Let's hear it.
So, back when I lived in South Detroit, we were in an old wartime house that was built in the late 1940s. And this house was creepy. Creepy as hell. Like, it just had bad vibes. And there were many nights that I would be there home alone. And all of the doors, because they were like a little bit old, they had like big gaps underneath. So if you had the light on in the hallway, you could see the light underneath the door. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm familiar.
So every single night, you could hear and see footsteps going up and down the hall. And you could see like the shadows passing underneath the door. And then sometimes, like, the doors would creak open all on their own. And one of the nights, my boyfriend at the time was staying over. And no one was in the house. We didn't have any pets at the time. So, like, you know, there weren't cats running around. And a big Yankee candle was knocked over on its side in the living room. And I like went back in to pick it up, and the footsteps were like going on because it was nighttime. So that's usually when they happen. And my boyfriend at the time was like, "Oh my God, there's an intruder in the house. Why are you so calm right now?" And I'm like, "Oh, calm down. It's just a ghost." But he insisted, he's like, "No, he checked every single door in the house. He like ran outside. He checked the basement." And he's like, "This is unacceptable." So we went back to bed. And a few minutes later, you could hear the footsteps again and see the creaking, and the door started peeping open. He just kept getting up and running around and was convinced that there was a logical explanation for all of this. And we never did come across it. But what I thought was really interesting was shortly before we moved, I was hanging out with my neighbor one day, because it was a retired couple who lived next to us. And we're just chit-chatting over the fence. He loved gossiping, knew everything about everyone in the neighborhood. It was great.
I got a couple of those on my street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love the retirees. They know everything. So we're chatting, and he goes, you know, does anything weird ever happen in your house? And I went, like, you know, what are you talking about? We're kind of weird because we live in a strange neighborhood. Could have been talking about anything. And he said that while there, so for a little while when no one was living in the house, because it had like many, many families over the years, shortly after our landlords had bought it, he was walking by the house one day and like he knew it was vacant. He lived right next door. And his dog started like barking at the window and staring and staring, because it had this big front window that faced the road. And he's like, I could have sworn I saw an old man in there, the old man who died at the house. Mm. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, it only happened the one time, but I just thought that was so strange. And he's like, I know nobody was living there at the time. There were no cars in the driveway, but like my dog was freaking out and I could have sworn it was him. So like we moved right after that. I didn't get to ask him much more, but I was not the only person who saw ghosts in that house.
It's so creepy too, because you're like, he's just purely curious if it's happening to you as well.
Yeah, and like it's just not a good energy. Like stuff would go missing in the house all the time. Like we would tell the ghost to fuck off because we're trying to sleep here, walking up and down the hallways and shit, keeping us up.
Man, that's pretty spooky. So what was like when stuff would just go missing? Would it just pop up randomly, or like areas you've already searched?
Yes, so there would be things like. Like one time I was searching for this bag of potting soil because I wanted to repot my plants and I knew exactly where I had left it in the basement. And there was like this creepy, creepy cold room in the basement that was all unfinished concrete because it like was used as a cellar before. And I was searching all over the house and there was nothing ever in that room. Like it was scary. So we didn't really put anything in it. And after I couldn't find it, I was like, oh, this is the only room in the house that I haven't checked. Might as well. I look and it's just like sitting in the middle of the floor in the room that has nothing else in it. And I asked my mom, I'm like, did you put this there? And she said no. So it's just things like that would happen all the time.
Mm. It's kind of, it's weird that it'd be in that, like right in the middle of the floor. Because like, I do that game with myself where it's like I have a key hanger, but I never put my keys on it when I come home from work. So it's like every morning it's where did I put my keys? And it's never the same spot, but it's usually, you know, for the most part on a counter, you know, you can pretty much track them down pretty quickly. And then once in a while, they'll be like somewhere super weird where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be late for work. I can't find these things. But even then it's like, you know, it's in the couch, like where I was sitting. So just to be like right out in the middle of the floor, like that kind of.
Yeah, it was unsettling. And like you would hear things moving in the house. Like I say, the candle was knocked over just all on its own in the middle of the living room. No open windows, no breezes, no animals. And like again, the house made really strange noises. And like right before we moved, I did get a dog and she would just stare into like random parts of the house and freak out barking. And as soon as we moved, all of it stopped. Like, you know, we just have the regular, where did I put my keys? Nothing that seems like, I know I checked here. I know there's nothing else in this room. And the dog no longer barks at random things. So, yeah, it was very weird.
And how long did you live there?
Just shy of 2 years. And it was, like, constant. And everyone who came over had an experience.
Now, my question, my follow-up question, that is, if that, like, just out of curiosity, how far are you away from this place?
Oh, only a few streets over.
You ever think about going and talking to the current tenants and just being like, hey, have you ever noticed anything weird?
Yeah, and I'm thinking of contacting the old neighbor too to see if he's seen anything else or if he has any other stories didn't share with me.
I mean, please do. And I mean, obviously, you know, it's always a weird one going and knocking, but it's like, if you ever see them in passing, you happen to ask, please call back. It's always something I'm kind of curious if, you know, you kind of share this with the people and they're like, weird stuff does happen here. It'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. And so, you know, if I ask them, I'll let you know, either that or I'll just be another strange person in the neighborhood that they ask to not knock on their door again.
Lurking around.
Hey, you seen any ghosts?
Well, please do call back if you get it. That's, you know, how that wasn't the reason you moved, was it?
No, we moved because we were renting and then my mom ended up buying a house. And yeah, this one, no spirits, all good. Okay. Side.
Nice. That's what you want. Yeah, when you go in. That was one of my, when we were looking at buying a house, I was like, when we were kind of looking at houses, I was like, I don't like, we went to one where it was like, you know, someone looked like, I don't know for sure, but like, I would say it looked kind of witchy, if you know what I mean. Like, I was like,
I know what you mean.
And then like, the ceilings downstairs were a little too low, just weird vibes all through the house. I was like, I don't like it. I couldn't live here. So that's the main big thing. You got to make sure the vibe of your house is good.
Oh yeah. And make sure like, bring in that EMF reader.
Yeah.
Make sure it's calibrated. Don't want to get any false pings.
Oh, 100%. Thank you so much for calling in with that and being the first call in the summer sessions here as we kind of work our way to season 9. Thank you so much for being that first call.
Hey, no problem, man. Enjoy the rest of your night and I hope you get some more spooky stories.
Right on. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
I love haunted houses. I mean, terrifying. But they're fun. Like, it's scary when you live there. But then, like, afterwards, and you're gone, you're like, ah, man, that's kind of, you know, it was kind of cool having this stuff. The lines are open. And you can always call in at 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, does that time not work for you and you love this show and you have a story? Well, listen, shoot me an email. Shoot me an email at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. I'll set up a time to record your call outside of the show. You just got to reach out. Lots of people have, and I add their calls into the show. So if that's, it's always an option for you. Secondly, we're fundraising. Listen, every dollar made on the show, I put right back into the show. And as you can probably tell from that story, I've been trying to add a little sound effects in here and there, but we're raising money so I can buy a nice big sound effect bundle from Motion Array. So if you want to help out, search paypal.me/cosmicchannels. That's the easiest way to help out the show. But listen, there's another caller on the line. Calls take priority. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Gil, and I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina.
Do you have me on speakerphone by any chance?
I do not. Let me...
Are you on a Bluetooth?
You off my headphone. Yes, I am. Hold on one second. Sorry, brother. Okay, is that better?
Oh, way better. I don't know why. Whatever it is, it always fishbowls people. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why. And sorry, did you say your name was Gil?
Yeah, my name's Gil.
Gil from Ontario?
Yes.
Right on. What do you got for
Asheville, North Carolina? Nowhere near Ontario.
Asheville, North Carolina.
it's the Ontario of America. Yeah, everybody knows
whatever.
That.
Hey, listen. We all got a little Ontario in us, okay? Gil, what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah. I have an odd question for you. So, two things. But the second part's the question. First thing, your show inspired friends and I to start a podcast 2 years ago. So I just wanted to say thank you.
No,
you held us through, COVID and the lockdowns and all that jazz. And by the end of it, you know, we caught the end of the wave of starting podcasts, and you were one of the inspirations. So thank you.
Cheers, man. Love to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, second part, and this goes, and I promise I'm not gorilla shamelessly promoting here. Second part,
hold on. You don't even have to worry about that. What is the show? Tell us. I want to tell. Say the name of the show,
dude. Okay. Honestly, that wasn't my intention. But thank you.
No, I don't care. I want to know. I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a Black Cat Report.
Black Cat Report, and it's you and your. How many buddies are on the show?
Right now, two. Started off with four, but you know how podcasts go.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one to keep together. But
100%, man. Early days of us, we were all over the place. So it's it's cool though, because it's a way to keep connected to friends. I mean, I'm getting up there now, and it's tough to carve out time to, you know, we've family, kids, and it's tough, you know. Especially for men, we kind of grow distance to our close friends and stuff. And those are important bonds. And podcasting is a phenomenal way to kind of stay in touch. And you're like, you kind of carve out that time to hang out with your buddies. So what do you guys talk about?
Yeah. So I was listening to your show while I was cooking, as I tend to. And I realized, you know, the topic that we're covering, or a subject, a person that we're covering right now fits in perfectly. Have you ever heard of Tsuruiko Kyuchi?
No.
Okay.
I'm also terrible with names. Terrible with names.
No, I'm with you too. But if you knew about this dude, you would know. Okay, so I came across him studying micro UFOs for an episode months and months and months ago. And it was on this Japanese blog. And it was a guy who had died three times and had three different, you know, near death, out of body experiences. And so I kind of like put him on the back burner. I was like, we're going to cover him. And so we're doing a time traveler month. And that was the whole point of his death, is that during his death, he learned how to time travel. This dude, medically, like it's registered. He's like, you know, kind of on the list of the only person in history to have ever done XYZ. This dude has died three times. The first time that he died, when he was 22, he died for 30 minutes.
That's a good death. Yeah, that's you're dead. Yeah, for sure. 100%. You're like.
Yeah, he had, I mean, you might know the term for this, but what is the splotching that starts when somebody dies?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. That's Andrew's realm. Pooling. I know there's pooling that happens.
Yeah.
Lividity. I feel like that's a good word to use. I don't know if it fits at all.
So, I have no clue, but like, you know, I
know what you're saying.
I'm sitting over here. I'm an atheist. I'm looking into this.
He's starting to congeal, right?
What's that?
He's starting to congeal a little bit. He's
starting to congeal. And you know, basically, the way I describe it in my non-medical terms is everything that your body does to keep you alive when you die, it completely 100% reverses. So like oxygen becomes toxic, for instance, right? To your brain, like everything in your body flips. Like it straight up flips a switch and it starts decomposing you.
It's a very refined process. It's had a lot of experience. Well, what happened with Kiyuchi was he had had a brain scan. He had had his heart checked. He'd had his lungs checked. The pulmonologist was there. The neurologist was there. The lead doctor was there. Everybody. He was completely declared dead. He was in the middle of getting his last rites in the Shinto faith. He was in the middle of getting his last rites, and literally it was rice water that his aunt was like sitting there praying, and she was putting to his lips. I forget the term in Japanese, but there's a specific ceremony when somebody just dies where you offer water to them. You put it to their lips in a spoon. And the thought is, you know, hey, if they are close to death and they're not dead, this is good for them. And if they are dead, then it's their first offering as an ancestor, right? It's kind of a beautiful, you know, thing to do. She was in the middle of praying over his dead body, poured rice water into his mouth, and he said, yummy, and scared the living shit out of her.
Yeah.
But what this dude experienced, though, which is so insane, because I don't know anybody that, I mean, the guy's 70 years old, he's still alive. He's the only person I know of that will have ever have died four times in their life. But what this dude experienced, though, was a complete transition into death, right? So when it first happened to him, when he first died at 22, it was just he's sitting there, he's listening to the doctor give the, you know, hey, he's going to pass at any moment kind of speech to his family that's in the room. And now he's standing in a muddy tunnel that's black, like pitch black. And he said that it had the feeling of like rice paddies below his feet. And he started crawling through the tunnel. It could not see, you know, up, down, left, right. It had no idea of any direction or whatever. And he just kept crawling and crawling through the mud until eventually he saw a vague light and came out from the tunnel, eventually, into a black and white world. He started walking through the field in the black and white world and saw kind of a yellowish glow. Again, everything's in black and white. So picture like a yellow spotlight off in the distance. And he started moving towards it. Eventually, he got to a river where he found an old beat-up boat. So it kind of has the feeling of, like, he crossed the river Styx without permission.
Yeah, that's the vibe it was giving me. I was like, okay, this is there's some, like, parallels here to other, like, afterlife tales.
Yeah, he basically went GTA in the afterlife and just, like, stole the boat.
Yeah, you know? He had no tokens with him.
Yeah, and so he ends up crossing, gets across the river, and he gets to the other side, and he's just absolutely exhausted. He lifts up his head and sees these figures that were standing around a bonfire, and he described them as like black shadow outlines of people that like moved kind of like heat. And one of them started coming towards him, and as they came towards him, they, I guess the best word for it would be materialized. It was who he would later find out to be his aunt that died when he was born, like around the same time that he was born. He never met her.
Okay.
And she, and her first question was, what are you doing here? and he was speechless, and she's like, come with me. And she leads him over to the fire. He realizes that his cousin and other members of the family who had passed were all there. They all start catching up on family and everything. And it, like, I guess this story gets to me so much because that is such a common thing about having family waiting for you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what? At the end. And it was kind of like the family was there taking care, like, they were holding vigil waiting for extended family to come.
Yeah, not him.
yeah. And I mean, the dude's gonna die in his life. He's gonna die two more times. So like, this was not his time at 22 years old, you know. But you know, they talk for a while. They kind of catch up, and it's kind of like, yo, what's Uncle Louie up to? Oh my God, he's still crazy. You know, like it's just kind of like that kind of, yeah, you know, it's family banter. And she's like, hey, come with me. And he's like, all right. He follows her. Eventually, comes across this beautiful like field of flowers. And then he says that there's this bright light that comes down from the sky. It's like golden. And it's the tracers behind it look like a dragon. It's moving so fast. And it swirls down and goes right in front of him. And it's this beautiful woman. And he realizes the end of the light has a face. and then what stops right in front of him. And he's sitting there, and she just looks at him for a moment and then just backs up and leaves. And he starts following his aunt again because he's just kind of like, this is all new to me at this point. He just starts following his aunt again, realizes she's gone, and then snap, he's standing in the hospital behind the doctors as they're trying to massage his heart back to life.
Wild.
But this dude has this shit happen. I mean, Chicken's Wake, if you get a chance, please look into Tsurui Kokuchi. The dude has like three near-death and out-of-body experiences. And frankly, he's the only person I know that's ever had that many experiences. Enough that by the second and third time it happens to him, he's kind of like, this ain't my first rodeo.
Well, listen, I am definitely interested. And if you like, we can keep going on him. Or everyone who's listening, who's interested in this, they can go listen to episode 105 and 106 of the Black Cat Report.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
And it looks like you guys got an in-depth over 2 hours on this guy. This is wild.
Yeah, the dude's nuts. I'm shocked by the fact that there is zero coverage outside of the Japanese language of this dude.
No, like, it is. He's just like kind of labeled as like an amateur astronomer. Like that's.
Yeah, that's another thing. So this dude, he often in Japan gets referred to as like the amazing Kyuchi, right? Or at least that's how it translates. his achievements, like if you're ever going to like come across somebody who actually might make you question if time travel's real, it's going to be this dude. Because the shit that ends up happening to him that he is documented for, I have the sources, the .gov websites for his name being tied to shit. This guy goes to rediscover Swift Tuttle in, I think it was 1992 or 1994, rediscovers Swift Tuttle. Swift Tuttle's kind of a big deal. It is the number one known threat to all life on Earth. Kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
and it was lost for 100 and something years. It was Kyuchi that rediscovered it. And then he ended up causing it landed in the oh shit inbox of all global governments when he found it again. Because he did all the math and he did all the fun sciencey stuff and realized, hey, in the year 2126 in August, there's a damn good chance it's going to wipe out all life on Earth.
Yeah.
That calculations were checked. He got credit for rediscovering it after it had been lost. And that became the plot to Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Yeah.
It just keeps going with this dude. Yeah. But then he dies two more times, which I don't know if any other callers tonight or if anybody else has said this or, maybe folks have their own stories. Something that I've come across with NDE experiences is you walk a life that's kind of halfway across the line afterwards. So Kyuchi talked about... he went to the city that had been mainly impacted by like Fukushima Daiichi and like the tsunami and the nuclear plant and tens of thousands of lives that were lost in Japan at that time. He was there within like a week of it happening. And he talked about how he could see the souls of everybody that was dead and confused, but specifically he saw the souls as white shadows walking around. And that's something that I've come across with like a handful of NDEs, with like folks who've crossed that line are still kind of walking in that world, even though they're alive to us. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different like NDE experiences. It's so wild. And like, so like each one, but this guy, like the fact this guy's had so many and he's like, and he's, actually like, kind of has he's living he's like Japanese Forrest Gump kind of you know what I mean, like he's like
and he is and bro, like if you watch his interviews and stuff like that, he kind of has that vibe a little bit. You nailed it. You nailed it 100%. How the fuck do you keep popping up, Pete? Like, there's a point in time where he may have helped inspire Bill Gates to, like, with the early influence around the internet. In, like, 1974? Like, there was that. Like, this dude just keeps popping up in history and nobody knows his name. He's died three times.
I know, and he's a religious leader now, too? Is that what I'm trying? There's not a lot of, like, English information on this guy.
There is no way in hell that you're going to find shit in English. I'm just going to say that right now.
No, it's so hard.
You got to go to google.co.jp to search in Japanese and then translate the results. He just doesn't exist here, which is fascinating. But this guy, I'm just going to say, look, I'm not out here actively looking for a cult. If he started one, I'd consider it. this dude's, he's absolutely fascinating. And again, who the hell has died that many times? Like, who's pulled a hat trick on the Grim Reaper, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, and just not, why, you know, it is weird, because maybe he's just a rare where he remembers it, but maybe, you know, I see some people in the chat, maybe it's just, you know, these things where you think you die, you do, but you just, your consciousness slips into another timeline where you don't.
Yeah.
And that's, and he just happens to remember all this. But for most people, you know, you get trauma blocked of these, you know, dying and dying and shifting over into a parallel consciousness stream, right?
That's the thing that he hits on. So he talks about it's during his second and third death. When it happened his second time, it was like 20 something, maybe I think it was 33 years later after his first death. Obviously, after something like that, you kind of spend some time thinking about life, you know, like that's normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
he died for a half an hour and went through a lot of incredible experiences. But he had 30 something years to think about it before he died again. And this time in China, and this time it was again, it was all documented in the hospital, right? Like, there's no argument. Dude was dead. And when it happened again, he realized a couple things. So when he had, and I don't know if this is maybe hopefully futuristically relieving to somebody who I hope not, but if they ever experience a hospital situation, an extreme situation like that, if they find themselves in an out-of-body experience, something that Kyuchi realized, and again, dude's had plenty of experience, I'm going with him on this one, he said, if you're out-of-body, that's a guarantee you're coming back. Like, he got pulled to an out-of-body from being in the afterlife. Which, I don't know if that's mind-blowing to you, but that was to me.
So he got pulled?
So he was in that, you know, the beautiful flower fields and seeing family, and then all of a sudden it was like, snap, he was in the middle of the room looking at doctors resuscitating him.
Oh, so he got pulled into an outer body from the afterlife. Interesting.
And it was going on long enough that he realized, he was like, wait a second, like, the only reason why I would be standing here looking at my body while doctors are doing this is because I'm on my way back. I got a return flight. Like, it dawned on him.
Yeah.
Right?
Or else you wouldn't be
that kind of makes sense.
Well, it's weird. You know? I mean, I've had one. But it wasn't... Do you really know? I don't know. I just... All of a sudden, I was in, like, a void. And there was, like, a voice that talked to me. And it was like, you did. You died, man. And I was like, oh... And it's like, don't worry. It was like, don't worry. We're going to put you back. We're going to put you back in another one. And all at my feet, it looked like film reel. Just going all sorts of different film reel everywhere. And in the film reel was just, you know, it was just images and they were all moving and I couldn't really make out anything. And I just said, okay, I just go back. And he goes, yeah, I'm just going to send you back into another one. It's okay. And it was like, it was so reassuring. And then all of a sudden I started like free falling, just like, and I woke up naked on a bed. And so I like, I, I was like, oh, did I die? Did I come back? Or was I just tripping fucking mad balls?
Did, when you said film reel, I hadn't even, again, Kyuchi, three times this shit happened to him, but he talks about when he started trying to push boundaries of shit eventually, and he's like, well, what is the past? What is the future? And that's where kind of time travel gets involved. But one thing that he said, though, was he looked at 100 years, right? And he said what was trippy about it was that it looked like two films that were playing that were overlaid.
Hmm. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, like it was like two projectors were projecting onto the same screen at the same time. One was, you know, obviously dystopian and terrible. The other one was like him happy as an astronomer teaching little kids how to use telescopes and shit. And it was like, oh shit, you know, life has decisions here, you know.
Mine was
like,
it was. There wasn't like a linear, like I was watching the films go from left to right. It was like they were a tangled mess, like a weave, but they were they were in motion, and it was just, it was like film strip. That's all I can remember. And,
what was the physical experience like in that moment? Sorry to flip the interview.
No, it was. I don't mind.
I'm into this right now, bro.
It was surreal. Like there was an overwhelming sense of like calm. Like I wasn't worried really. I was like, really? I died? Oh, like it was like, oh. But then I couldn't do anything. I don't even really remember in that moment when I'm looking around having a body, to be honest. Not until I started falling, and then I was like, I became aware of my body again. But like, I was just kind of just existing. It was weird. It wasn't scary. I was totally calm. Whoever was talking to me was totally calming. I don't recognize the voice. It wasn't my own voice. It was super laid back. It was just like, yeah, you died, man. It's all good. Don't worry.
The last, like, it was just the B team, like, at the front desk, just kind of being like,
I was like, don't worry,
bro, you died. You'll be good in 10 minutes. Don't worry about it. Just take your seat.
Yeah, like, just relax. this doesn't last long. We're gonna send you back.
And I gotta ask a sensory question. So, like, could you smell? Could you taste? Could you feel your feet touching the ground?
I couldn't feel anything. I could remember falling, and I could remember hearing noises and it was like things zipping past me going, whew, 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 whew. But I also woke up on my bed doing that with my mouth. So it's hard to say weird. Dude, it was the weirdest. It was such a weird experience. But in the back of my head, I've always been like, did I die? Did I die and get sent back?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was to do no good. It was.
You're like, I got sent back with the worst agenda possible. Y'all motherfuckers are going to pay right now.
They didn't give me any instructions. I didn't give me any glimpses of nothing.
Well, hey, but you're set up for the second and third time, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'll be ready. Hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't want to risk it.
Good deal.
Gil, thank you so much for calling in with that, though. And if you're listening to this, listen, Gil's easy to listen to, easy to talk to. So go check out the Black Cat Report. You get it anywhere? Everywhere?
Yeah. Now we have a running bounty. If you can find a place that we're not, then send us the platform and we'll send you a free sticker. So there you go.
You on Good Pods?
What's that?
You on Good Pods?
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, hey, for you, you're kind of like the OG, like Mount Rushmore without the, you know, negative effects on native folks. So, like, if you want a free sticker, message me. I got you, bro.
Yeah, I'll put it up in the new studio. You know, that's the one thing that I hated about getting rid of the old, I had Meth Laboratories, which is the trailer I had. I had a door that had all the stickers that everyone had ever sent me. And I was like, I'm never getting rid of this trailer. So I just had all the stickers stuck on there. Cause I was like, you know, I had them in a drawer and then I stuck them all in this door and I was like, oh, I like that. And then I had to get rid of it. So now I have no stickers. So I'm like, ah, hey, you'll be the first, you'll be the first sticker to go up on the new studio. Shoot me an email, cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. Maybe we'll do a little swap.
Will do, man.
All right, man.
Sounds good.
Take care, Gil. Right,
thank you for your time. Take care, man.
That's Bye. Gil from Ontario or Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville. Appreciate you, man.
All right. Nice. Bye. His pod is Black Cat Report. And if you're interested in Tsuhiro Hiko Kyuchi, I'm terrible with names. That's episode 105 and 106 of the Black Cat Report. Yes, just as it sounds, Black Cat Report. B-L-A-C-K. And listen, it's a UFO cryptids, true crime, and paranormal. It's a red logo with a little black cat and white eyes. You'll see it. Go check it out. It's cool. He's a cool guy. I like Gil. Do you host a podcast and you got something interesting to talk about? Feel free to call in to Cosmic Channels. Listen, I don't mind shooting the shit on, if you got a really interesting topic coming up on your show, call me, tell me about it. I like hearing these things. You know, we can help each other's shows grow. That's what Cosmic Channels is all about. This is a community run show. And frankly, the show doesn't exist without the callers. So, you know, call us, as they say. 1-833-703-0424 is the number. Every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can call in. But listen, some people are nervous to call, and I get it. I've been there. You want to write in? That's fine. You can write me your story at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll read your story live on a Thursday. That's cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com, and I'll read your story. Send it in. But listen, the calls are better, but I get it. But caller on the line, call us a priority. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Invalid.
Hey, how's it going?
Island. Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Not too bad.
Good.
Nice
to see you back. I had to take a hiatus for a while though, so I've missed a few episodes.
Yeah, that's all good. So did I. We both did.
Yeah, we did. yeah, so I'm calling with a haunting, but it's a very recent and it's hospital related.
Ooh.
So I thought, well, you know, it's a little different. I don't know if it's a haunting, but it was really weird.
Having spent a lot of time in the hospitals the last, the last couple months, there is some of those wings in the hospital when you're going, they just have a vibe, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you just go there and you're like, ooh.
Just spent 2 months in ICU essentially, doing what I was doing. So yeah, there's just so much vibe going there and it's not always really good.
No, I agree. I was the whole time I was there, I was doing the same thing, ICU and palliative. And, it was like, ooh, sorry. You know, it's some heavy, heavy, heavy energies going on in there.
And it's already heavy the reason you're there, so it's not nice having that added to it.
Let's hear your story.
Well, my story is it's happened the last 2 days that I needed to be there, and this is about 2 weeks ago now. We ended up getting the family respite room, which you get in ICU if things are not going well, so you and your family can reserve this for whatever time is needed prior to the passing of somebody. And so for those that don't know what it is, so with this respite room, it's set up with lots of sitting area, all the basic needs that you'd need, the pull out couches for beds, and your own washroom. And in this hospital, I know some hospitals still have the pedal operated sinks and toilets. This one, it was all sensor related. So it just would, you wave in front and then it would activate for the sink and for the toilet. Now, in this room, for the last 2 days only, and we had been in there for a week, The sink would constantly go on and off. Constantly. And it was, there would be nobody near that washing because there was just the two of us in that room. And so it was really, really disturbing because I work with a company that also installs these types of sensor devices and these things. Like, if they're going to malfunction, they're not going to turn on. They're just never going to activate. It's not the opposite where they're just start working. So it was just a really unpleasant, ominous situation. While we're in there 24 hours a day, and then having this sink just constantly turn on and off in this bathroom.
And
so that's about it.
Can I ask you a question? Were you, is mm-hmm. what are the odds you were at Royal Jubilee?
No.
Oh, okay. Cause
I actually had to go to the mainland.
Oh, did you? Okay. Cause I was like, yeah. I was going to say the Royal Jubilee Hospital is like famously haunted. Famous.
That one is. And I'd like to say that the one I'd be in would have been, but that hospital, this section was actually fairly new. So, you know, it's still going to have a lot of residual stuff that's trapped in it, but it wasn't one of the older ones. So,
when I think
it's another one that would be bad would be St. Paul's. I know there's a lot of bad that comes out of that one.
Yeah.
On the mainland.
And I think it's like, it's a tough, like, hospital. I think they have that vibe too. It's because there's so many people who, you know, leave before they wanted to. And,
well, yeah.
So they're probably hanging around there. I don't want to say lost confused. Or anything like that, but yeah, confused, like, you know, not,
yeah.
or like not really believing that they've left their physical form behind, not almost in denial, I think. And you kind of, you like in some of the areas, you get that vibe. And I think it's just a place where, you know, unfortunately, I mean, they do a great job of trying to care for everyone and stuff, but it's like, you know, some people just pass before they've accepted. You know, like I had a friend that happened yes. to, and it's just, they just don't want to go, and they're hanging on and they're fighting to stay.
Accepting, or the medical staff hasn't been able to explain that this is happening to them, or family or loved ones haven't been able to attend prior to them passing. There's yeah. so many different things that can like, lead to just really bad situations.
Yeah. And I think these areas, then these spirits, or people who have just passed on are just linger for a while before yeah. they kind of, you know, either make amends, like, you know, make amends with it that they've passed on and kind of go to wherever you go after. But it is, like I said, those wings of those hospitals, they're pretty heavy. I mean, I've had other people call on the show and talk about areas where you just get that feeling. And some of those wings in that hospital, if you know, some people might say you're there because, you know, this or that, or death is near to someone you care about. That's why you're there visiting and stuff. But it is weird. I would like to hear from nurses and stuff who work on these kind of wings. And I wonder if they get that feeling more often than not.
And the stories that just before the passing times are amazing, and I've heard a lot about them, and then I ended up experiencing that with, in my case as well, a couple of days prior to it, where you just have this sudden the person becomes so cognitive
yeah.
and is just suddenly talking where they couldn't even talk before. Or, you know, I've read stories of people that were brain dead, like their brains literally goop. And for a day prior to them passing, it's like they were up and walking around and having coherent conversations with people and all of this. And it's like the nurses have some amazing stories about some of the stuff, but it's also tragic. But
yeah, oh, I mean, it's heavy stuff. You know, so it's, but it'd be interesting to sit down and, you know, talk to some people that do that for a living in those kind of wings.
Well, you have to do cosmic channels on the road and go to hospitals and interview people.
Yeah, get in there. Well, or if there's nurses listening, call with your stories.
Yes,
you work in a hospital that's, you know, has some hauntings or some, you know, some odd things that everyone notices, and you just kind of let it be. I want to know. But Invalid, thank you so much.
That's my story.
Thank you so much for calling, and I'm terribly sorry for your loss. I mean, it's always
likewise.
Yeah, it's always a tough
life
time,
happens.
So, yeah. So all you can do is just enjoy it and, you know, and remember the people as best you can and share their stories.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Well, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, it'd be cool to talk to nurses. Do you work in a hospital or a care aid facility or any kind of creepy old building and you've heard a story of a friend or you've had an experience yourself? Listen, this is a call to action to all nurses and healthcare workers who may have had an experience with someone traveling to the other side. I want to hear your stories. That's what Cosmic Channels is all about. So please call 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424. You can call in every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But look at that. We already have another caller on the line. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Sheila from Montreal, Quebec.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
I'm doing all right. You?
Yeah, not bad. You are not affected by any fires over that way yet?
No, not yet. I mean, I know it hit Ontario, but I don't think we've smelled anything, because the last time it happened, it was so intense, the smell.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't go out there. It was, you couldn't breathe. Yeah.
I was fortunate to be on the farthest part of the West Coast, so I was kind of free. But, like, yeah, I was seeing the radar of everyone else just getting smoked out. I was like, oh, that sucks. So, what do you got for us tonight?
Yeah. Sorry, you got cut off. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, what do you got for us tonight?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm calling because I was thinking, what could I tell you about? Because I have so many stories, but because of the call that just happened about the hospital, it brought back something that happened last year. And just for some context, I had called, I think it was the second time I'd called, I had talked about remembering being born beforehand, like before I was actually like, you know, just like, I don't know how to describe it, but like in the process of being born, where I had a memory of hovering over my mother as she was going to the hospital. I don't know if you remember when I had called about that.
Yes, I do remember.
But
now.
It was like, I had kind of described like seeing what was like diamond crystal like material as I was going through what looked like kind of a tunnel, and then it was dark, and then I saw light, and then I was like floating above her. So the reason I'm mentioning that is because what happened was about a year ago now, again, I was in the hospital, and I was waiting. It was late at night, and I was waiting for the staff to come see me. And it was probably like 12, it was like midnight. And suddenly, I was sleeping, and something woke me up. It was a bunch of people crying. And I was like, what happened? What's going on? And my husband, who was sitting next to me, said, I think somebody passed away. I said, oh, my God, because I was like part of the ICU wing, like I was still in that process. And I was like, oh, that's terrible. And we could hear, you know, like a really young girl crying. And I was like, I wonder if I could see anything, because I have that ability. So I closed my eyes, and then I saw a black woman who looked kind of shocked and stunned. And she's looking up in the air, and then I see that material again. It looks like it's floating above her, but it's that diamond material. And I saw a hand come down from that, extended to her, and she was really confused, but she gave her hand up, still looking confused. And then it just went black. So I said, oh, I guess something came to pick her up. And I was like, I'm curious. So I got up. I said, I'm just going to use the washroom. And I got up, and I was walking down the hall. And I wish I hadn't seen this, but they hadn't closed the door. And all the family was in the vicinity right at the door, and they were wheeling her out. And she wasn't covered, and she was a black woman. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the person I saw. Anyway, so I went to the washroom, came back. I told my husband, he was like, just don't look. Just don't say anything to them, because not everyone believes these things. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. It's just... it was weird that I saw that same material, and that's the third time now that I've seen it.
Yeah, that is so strange. Yeah. Like, it's like a diamond, like metallic.
It just looks like a curtain. Okay, so you know, like how you have a waterfall,
yeah,
and it has that shimmery effect. It's kind of like that, but so much more clear and so much more. it's super shiny. It's almost like it's super faceted. So it's catching the light in so many directions.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's brilliant. It's the only way I could describe it, but it's not static. It feels like a fabric that's
dynamic.
It's moving. It's yeah. not.
Weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this hand that this person grabbed, do you think that's death?
No, but I was wondering, I remember like thinking back as I was looking at it, like what color was that? Like the hand itself looked like satin. It looked like sheer satin color, like a white sheer satin.
Maybe a gloved hand?
Not necessarily gloved. It was just like the skin texture itself. Like I would attribute it to being the actual skin texture. So super soft, but kind of glimmery. And I wouldn't say, it felt almost masculine, but I can't say for sure, but it just felt that way. But I don't think it was negative or demonic or anything like that, because, I mean, from my experience having seen it, from like my memory, it was coming back from somewhere else, right? It was not in a negative way.
If you think about like all the stories of death and just how, you know, the death's touch and the different folklore surrounding death and coming and visiting, and it's, you know, the take my hand. It kind of makes, when you explain that to me, that's where my brain goes to. I'm like, maybe you caught a glimpse, and you said you were in the ICU, so maybe you were like, you know, you were kind of, and I know I think you've told me before you're sensitive to these kind of things, so like maybe it's a bit of like being in that area in the ICU and you're sensitive to these things, that you caught a kind of a glimpse of you know, death taking someone. And I kind of wonder that, because if you think of all the tales and stuff, I wonder if other people have seen something similar and that's how that story has kind of progressed.
That's a good point, because death is not necessarily something negative or positive, right? It's just kind of like a conduit.
No, it's a next,
to something else.
Yeah, yeah, it's the next step. And, you know, we attribute it to, we attribute it to this, you know, the Grim Reaper and stuff like that. But it's like, that's not necessarily, it could be a loved one from the past that they're reaching out from the other side to give you a hand along, right? We have literally no idea. So it's kind of interesting that, and it's weird because what you describe, I've heard other people kind of describe, not in the terms of death, but when like talking about like DMT trips and stuff, kind of I've heard similar. And so kind of I always kind of wonder, I'm like, you know, is there something to that, like, you know what I mean, like there's something that we just can't see right now in this plane of existence that will be welcomed through once we pass on. That's interesting. What are your thoughts on it?
I think that there's some kind of intermediary for sure. I mean, I have been in situations where I've had a friend, for example, when her grandmother was passing, she asked me to look from a distance to see what I could see over there. There's only so many hours you can visit, obviously. And she's like, no one's with her. Can you see, you know, she's still alive. What's going on from a distance? And I said, no, she's fine. She's in bed. And I said, but I do see so-and-so and so-and-so, and I don't know their family. Do you know what I mean? And she was like, you're describing her brother who had passed like 50 years back. Oh, you're describing her aunt. You're describing. And I was like, oh, okay. So you know who these people are. I was like, well, she's with them. Like they're all waiting with her. So that's like one stage of it where it's funny because they sensed I was looking. At one point, one of them looked right at me and I just said, nope, I can't look anymore. I don't think I have permission. So I stopped looking, but she was not happy that somehow knew I was looking in. So I think that's one stage before someone passes. The loved ones do come. And then there's that stage where, you know, obviously you do, when you pass, there is possibly, I always imagined it would be your loved ones also on the other side kind of maybe beckoning you. But this was not the feeling I had at all. This was, okay, you've done that process. Now this is like the next step. I'm going to help bring you to the next place, because she did not seem like she wanted, not that she didn't want to go, but that she was just terribly confused, like what just happened. And what I kind of overheard around me was that she'd had a heart attack, so it was sudden. She was not expecting it. So it could just be, it was what she was viewing was so different. So I think that was like a different stage in that process.
Yeah.
What exactly it was, I can't say for sure, but that's the first time I've ever seen that, only because it was the first time I was curious enough to look.
Yeah. Now, I just had a question, and I might be wrong. Did you had, in a previous call, described seeing like a shadow creature or something in someone's house that was humongous, right? That was you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, because I recognize your voice, but sometimes it takes me a while to kind of put the voice with the story. And I always remember that. I always remember that because it still haunts me to this day.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. I loved it.
There are just so many of them. Honestly, at some point I'm going to write a book because it's just, in terms of a lifetime of experiences, it's quite a number. And that's why I don't call, because I'm like, what would I tell, what would I talk about? There's so many odd little things here and there. And, just really weird, tiny things where it's like, oh, this happened and this chair was spinning and it freaked that person out, but I didn't see it, but they saw it. And it's a split second that it happens. Is that really a whole story? Do you know what I mean? Do you express something like that? I don't know.
Well, it's always nice when someone calls and you kind of have the next caller's like, I listened to that call and I have something similar to, along those lines.
That's true.
I enjoy that. Anyways, thank you so much for calling. That's fascinating. Hopefully it inspires other people to call and share their experiences or their thoughts on the matter of what happens to us after we pass.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care of yourself.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. That's going to be it for this week of Cosmic Channels. Don't worry. We have tons more calls coming at you. We're going to be pumping out podcasts every Thursday, all through spooky season and into the new year. We've got UFO calls. We've got ghost calls. We've got cryptid sightings. We've got tons and more coming this season, season 9 of Cosmic Channels. And listen, why don't you come and hang out during a live stream? And we stream this show on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch. Just search Cosmic Channels and come hang out Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Catch a live stream. And for the rest of y'all, we will see you next Thursday. And with that, the cosmic lines are now closed.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.